This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you all in this very blessed night, which could be Laylatul Qadr, because it's an odd night. It's the night of the 23rd. So it could be it. And inshaAllah ta'ala, let us all recite the dua that the Prophet Muhammad taught Aisha radiallahu anha. You all know the dua, right? Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni wa fa'afu anna. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna altogether. Ameen, ameen. So today it's interesting because we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 surahs to cover altogether. Inshallah, 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 I'm going to keep it myself in about 10 minutes or less, bi-idhnillah. So we have Surah Al-Fath, that's what the Shaykh was reciting, and then he moved to Surah Al-Hujurat. He finished Al-Fath, now he's in Surah Al-Hujurat. And then Qaf, each Surah, with all due respect, each Surah requires more than one lecture, if not maybe several lectures, especially Surah Qaf, and then you have Al-Dhariyat, and then Surah Al-Tur, and then Al-Najm, and then Al-Qamar. These are all considered to be suwar, which are, except al-Fath and al-Hujurat, they're from the Mathani. But the rest are called al-Mufassal. Now we're back into the, at the very end. The Mufassal are the short ones. So Surah al-Fath, let's start from Surah al-Fath. Surah al-Fath is a Madani surah, which means the surah was revealed in Medina. And the Prophet Muhammad was so happy when this surah was revealed. He says, today, a surah was revealed today. I'm so happy, alayhi salatu wasalam. A surah was revealed upon me better than the dunya and whatever it contains. Better than this whole world. Surah al-Fath, the conquest. And this surah, you know, was revealed on the 6th, or after the 6th, or the 6th of the Hijrah, when Prophet Muhammad was going from Medina to Mecca to perform Umrah. And he was prevented from, you know, performing his Umrah. And then he worked out that truce, which is called the truce of... he was the first one. He was. You see, Cha-Cha, you and I were old. The young ones are fast. He just, bah, like this, fast. So here we go. He was fast. Hey, mashallah. Al-Hudaybiyah. Cha-Cha, I'll do. Here we go. Bismillah.
Don't
give
too much. Sugar level will go up.
Sugar level will go up. This thing, I'll give it back to me because I don't want you to, you know, diabetes is not a good thing. Surah Al-Na'am. So we're saying the Prophet in the Hudaybiyah, the Sulh, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Initially, this Treaty of Hudaybiyah looked in the favor of Quraysh, the story of Umar ibn al-Khattab. You know, he was so angry when the Prophet Muhammad was writing that truce, that contract with Quraysh, telling him, Ya Rasulullah, aren't we, you know, having the upper hand? Why should we write a contract with them which looks in their favor? The Prophet Muhammad was telling him, Ya Umar, I am Rasulullah. Trust me, I'm Rasulullah. And then he goes to Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, aren't we having the upper hand? Why should we sign this contract? Because it looks in the favor of Quraysh. But Prophet Muhammad wanted to avoid any types of blood, any war. He wanted that truce, which eventually was signed for 10 years, the period of 10 years, but it got broken after 1 to 2 years. But the Prophet Muhammad needed that time for what? Peace. For what? To do what? Da'wah. Who said da'wah first? Here we go. For da'wah. The people who embraced Islam in that period of only between 1 to 2 years is more than the 15 years, more than 10 to 15 years of working. And because the Prophet Muhammad, all he needed is, just give me time. Let me go da'wah. Let me talk to people. He was prevented from giving da'wah. So he needed that truth. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it fatih. And later on, Umar will come to Rasulullah feeling regret. Ya Rasulullah, I'm so, you know, he apologized, radiallahu anhu wa'adha. So Allah Azza just starts with, Inna fatahna laka fathan mubeena. It's a huge fatah, fatah mubeen. Fatah means the conquest, right? By the way, when the Muslims in that 60 of the Hijrah, when they moved, or when the Prophet Muhammad, the Fath of Mecca, the conquest of Mecca, because eventually after that will happen, the conquest of Mecca. In the Hudaybiyah, they were about less than 1,000 or so, but in the Fath of Mecca, after a couple of years, they came back as 12,000. It all happened within that period. So this is Fath, bloodless, no war whatsoever, da'wah. And what happened after the fruits of da'wah. 12,000 came with the Prophet Muhammad to conquer Mecca, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it's too many surahs, that's why I had to take some note. I didn't want to miss out on anything. Inna fatahna laka fatha mubina. When the Prophet Muhammad, by the way, he entered Mecca as Fatih, he was reciting Inna fatahna laka fatha mubina. And this surah also, when Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah is in Surah Al-Fatih, he was reciting, the Sahaba was repeating after him, and then when the Prophet Muhammad said, Muhammadun Rasulullah, the Sahaba all together, when they were making tawaf, Muhammadun Rasulullah, brothers and sisters, in the Quran, I'm having goosebumps here. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the prophets in the Quran, he calls them by name. Ya Adam, Ya Nuh, Ya Zakariya, Ya Yahya, Ya Musa. He calls them by name, except Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. He calls him by name. When Allah Azza wa Jalla calls Prophet Muhammad, he calls him Ya Ayyuha Nabi or Ya Ayyuha Rasul. Except in this ayah, he called him Muhammad, but he says Rasulullah. Muhammadun Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Surah Al-Fath, then Surah Al-Hujurat. Surah Al-Hujurat teaches manners. It's all about manners. Adab with whom? Adab with Rasulullah. So you love Prophet Muhammad, right? So when you hear his name, send salutations upon him. Say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. So it is the akhlaq of the mu'mineen, teaching them moral characters, and especially vis-a-vis the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. Yani adab with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. There was this confederation who came by the name of Banu Tamim. And they were rude, you know, this Bedouin, mostly Bedouins, they had no adab. They were calling Rasulullah and then raising their voice at the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah revealed certain ayahs, when you talk to Rasulullah, don't talk with a loud voice. You know, keep your voice or keep your tone, you know, down. It happened, subhanAllah, at the time of Umar ibn Khattab. This is a true story. Umar ibn Khattab, in the era of Umar ibn Khattab, late after the death of Rasulullah and after the death of Abu Bakr, some people came in Madinat al-Nabi, in the Masjid al-Nabi. You've been to Masjid al-Nabi? Please, if you have not made the intention to go and visit the Masjid of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So he heard some man talking loud. And then he didn't want to call them. He took some like a pebble and then he threw it at that person. Up. So he called. He threw and he called them. He says, where are you people from? Then they told him, we were from this tribe. Yani they were new. They were not from Medina. And they were not known amongst the Sahaba. He says, if you were from us, from here, from I would have beaten you up. Why? Don't you know that this is the Masjid of al-Nabi? Don't speak in a loud voice. Speak quietly. Don't raise your voice. And then came the Hujurat. When they came and they were asking Prophet Muhammad, I was just standing in his chamber, and then they came calling him, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, قلت أدب, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, لا ترفع أصواتكم عند صوت عند, don't raise your voice. And then the Prophet said, Allah says, if they were to wait for him until he comes out, it would have been better for them. What is this قلة أدب? What is this lack of manners calling Prophet Muhammad and raising their voices? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Those who call you behind these chambers, the most of them, they are like جُهَّال, جَاهِل, يعني they're جَاهِل people. And they should not have raised their voice. But Rasulullah is a river of mercy. رحيم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم صلى الله عليه وسلم. قاف الفتح حجرات مدينة. Now, Qaf, Mecca, Makki Surah. Qaf, Prophet Muhammad used to use sometimes this Surah, the whole Surah, he would make Khutbah Jum'ah with it. He would stand and recite Qaf until the end, just in one Khutbah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Surah, he actually yubayyin tariqayn, or tariqan. Allah Azza wa Jalla shows us two paths. the path of the people of Jannah and the path of the people of Hellfire, and then it's up to you to choose whatever path you want to adopt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Qaf also talks about al-qareen. It talks about the qareen, which, you know, that shaitan, that, you know, that jinn, that shaitan that that everybody has, who takes this, you know, takes whatever, you know, sometimes the whispers of shayateen and whatnot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions with regard to Jahannam, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ جَهَنَّمَ هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. The day when Allah Azza wa Jalla asks Jahannam, are you full? خلاص, you're filled? She says, هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ, is there more? Give me more. She wants to burn more, وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ, هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ, هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. And it's been narrated in the hadith which is sound, when she says hal min mazid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his foot down to press more on Jahannam to bring in more people, wal-iyadu billah, more people will be thrown in hellfire. May Allah save you and save your loved ones. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks that about the other scene, the beautiful scene in the people of Jannah. Allah azza wa jal, when he talks about Jannah, and he says, this is beautiful, brothers and sisters, who wants to see the face of Allah in Jannah? There are some people who will be seeing the face of Allah once a day. And there are some people who will be seeing the face of Allah every day, twice a day in Jannah. And this is the utmost pleasure, is to be able to see the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. They have everything they would wish in it. Anything you desire, brothers and sisters, in Jannah. You don't have, in fact, to go and climb and grab a, you know, an apple or a grape or whatever you want from Jannah. All you have to do in Jannah is desire, and it will come to you. But Allah says, وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ, and we have more. And the ulama, when they made the tafsir of mazid, he says, to be able to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Qaf, Surah Al-Dhariyat. How much time are we doing? We're doing La ilaha illallah. Al-Dhariyat. Al-Dhariyat, Allah Azza wa Jal, he makes qasam, qasam, qasam after qasam. Wal-Dhariyat, you know, qasam, qasam, qasam. He's swearing by, you know, making an oath. Innama tu'aduna lasadiq. That the promise of Allah, whatever Allah has promised, is true and it shall happen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about the story quickly, about the story of Ibrahim, when these angels, they came to Ibrahim in the form of man, giving him the glad tidings that he will have a son by the name of? Not Ismail, Ishaq, you the man, Ishaq, because Ibrahim had a son Ismail from another wife by the name of? Hajar, she was able to bear babies, but Sarah, she was barren. And then they came with the news that Sarah, she will have a baby, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla provided, you know, blessed him with Ishaq. And then they gave him the news that they were going to destroy what tribe? The people of Qawmul Lut. Yes. I just want to give you guys, you know, huh? You see, am I nice or nice? You see, you know how many choices you have? Surah At-Tur, I have only three more, khalas, I'm done. Surah At-Tur, please be patient. Surah At-Tur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, he swears, إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعٌ. There he was swearing, and then he says that the promise of Allah shall happen, and here in Surah At-Tur, إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعٌ. That the punishment of Allah shall happen, and it will prevail. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah save us all from it. And then Allah يُعْلِنْ عَلَيْكَ عَذَابَ أَهْلَ النَّارِ. He will present, you know, in the Surah At-Tur, the people and what happens in hellfire, and what happened in the people of Al-Jannah. This surah, my brothers and sisters, and at the very end he says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَةٌ. Every soul shall be responsible about their own actions. You cannot blame him or her for what not. Everybody shall be responsible about their own deeds. And then Surah Al-Najm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, خلاص, Al-Najm, and we are, and Al-Qamar, together. Al-Najm and Al-Qamar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, that he does not speak in vain, that his speaking or his words are true. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. With Surah Al-Qamar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with Surah Al-Qamar, the moon, اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. By the way, when Allah says here, اقتربت الساعة, the sa'a is near, the day of judgment is near, وانشق القمر, when the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he pointed to the moon, a very bright full moon, and then with his, one of the miracles, one day inshallah, I shall talk to you about the miracles of the Prophet. He had so many miracles, not just the Quran, so many miracles. One of the miracles of the Prophet Muhammad, that the water was dripping off of his, uh, his fingers, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, they drank from that water. They were thirsty, and the entire army drank from the water coming down from the hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many miracles. One of the miracles, he split the moon in half before the eyes of the Sahaba. And then he says, اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. The Sa'a is near. Brothers and sisters, what year are we on? The solar, the lunar. 1442, where did you see that? There, huh? Right there. Look, it's right there. Right there, unless you don't want chocolate. Here, 1443. Brothers and sisters, 1443 years ago, Allah is saying, the Sa'a is near. The Day of Judgment is close. So many years back, the Sa'a is close. Brothers and sisters, and tomorrow they will know many al-kadhab al-ashir, because in the surah they were blaming Rasulullah of liar, of sahir and whatnot. And Allah is saying, tomorrow we shall know who is the true liar. May Allah Azza wa Jalla save us. An ayah that will change your life. You ready? This is it. An ayah that will change your life, Surah Al-Hujurat. We're going to go back to Surah Al-Hujurat, verse number 22. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا ذَرِيَات. Oh, I'm sorry, ذَرِيَات. ذَرِيَات, verse number 12. Allah is like, I need you. You're my love. I need you. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقَّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. Come, quickly. What's your name?
Asim.
Asad.
Yes.
Asad, you're Asad?
Yes.
How old are you, Asad?
29.
29 years old. Are you married?
Not yet.
Do you have a job?
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Do you have a house?
Yes.
Do you have a car?
Yes.
Okay, he's Asad, he has all these keys. But Asad, listen, who's talking to me right now?
Who's talking to me?
Yeah, who's talking to me?
Me, Asad?
I don't know, who's talking to me? Is that you?
Yes.
Do you have any doubt?
No, I do not.
Are you possessed by jinn?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, and it is you who's talking, not anybody else.
Correct.
No doubt.
Yes.
Allah is saying in the Quran, his rizq, the rizq that you have, the sustenance, is in the hands of Allah, and Allah swears by his majesty, it is the truth, just like the words that you utter. That's why I asked him, when I asked and I said, do you have any doubt? He says, I have no doubt. Then have no doubt that the rizq is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we do fundraising, remember this, inshallah ta'ala. And brothers and sisters, before I go, just so you know, rizq is not necessarily money. I'm done. 10 seconds. Rizq is not necessarily money, because a lot of people think rizq is money. No, rizq is, your parents are rizq. Your children are rizq. Your wife is rizq. Your husband's sisters are rizq. You know, the fact that you're sitting here is rizq. You know, your friends are rizq. Together, we are rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So cherish whatever Allah has given you as a rizq, inshaAllah ta'ala. May Allah bless you, may Allah reward you, Zakum Allah khair for your patience. I ask Allah to bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.